You men, I always enjoy hearing from the men of the church, and we have some good men and women of the church, but I certainly appreciate the men coming and sharing with us. It's always good to hear some of the things that God's laid on their heart, and it's good to know that people are studying the Bible. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's just not for the preacher. That's for every believer. Study the word. Stay in the word. That's the secret to the victorious Christian life. Get the word in you. It's going to be hard to get the word out of you if it's not in you. And so I want to encourage you, stay in the word of God. Make it a daily devotional thing. Read your Bible. And pray every day. We teach the young children that, and I pray they never grow out of it, and I pray that it's something you're practicing in your life. How are you doing on the hour of prayer? Okay. I see some people that are faint, some people that are fair, and some people that are fantastic. They're just excited. Well, you know what? It's not about, I don't time myself when I pray. I just think that I put the challenge out there so that we would begin to pray. Prayer is a missing element. It's a privilege, and it's missing in many Christians' life. I've told you this statistic before. I don't even know that it's so. As we turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5, would you turn there? Deuteronomy chapter 5. I read a statistic some time ago, and I shared it with you as I was preaching, and it really disturbed me that the average Christian, and I don't know, you know, how, as I said, I don't know how true this is, prays less than 3 minutes a day. And I got to tell you, that's not a good thing. And so the last thing I want to be is an average Christian. If that's what average Christians are up to, I don't want to be an average Christian. And I'm not saying that in a condescending way, and I'm certainly not saying it in a pharisaical way. I need God to help me in this matter of prayer. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be someone who understands the importance of prayer, and I want to pray. We need to pray. And so I think that if we get into the place to where we're not praying, whether we would say it or not, and I want you to listen to me now, whether we would say it or not, our message is, God, we don't need you. That's why we're not coming to you. It's because we don't need you. When we need God, we go to Him in prayer. You get desperate enough and you'll pray. Amen? That's right. You get in a fix and you'll pray. You let a crisis come along and it'll drive us to our knees. And I'm not opposed to crisis praying. But I think that there ought to be more that would drive us and that would lead us before the throne of God's grace than crisis. And sometimes God will allow crisis in our lives to teach us to pray. And so I would just want to encourage you now, pray. It's very important. Continue to stick with it. As I said, you may not kneel and pray for an hour. It may be two 30-minute sessions, a morning and an evening. It may be three or four sessions. David said, evening, morning, and noon in Psalm 55, will I pray and cry aloud, and the Lord will hear my voice. And so you may divide your prayer time up. I don't know. I just want to encourage you to pray. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray for your church family. Pray for yourself. You say, well, I don't have a problem with that, preacher. Well, I don't think many of us do. But it's okay to pray for yourself. It's okay to pray for yourself. But most of our time ought to be praying for others, shouldn't it? We ought to be interceding on the behalf of others. Well, let's look at this Deuteronomy chapter number 5 before we get into the message. And I want to talk to you again about the Sabbath day. All right? We're on the fourth commandment. And so let's look at these. Are you in Deuteronomy chapter 5? Just want to point out these 10 commandments. We're going through the book of Deuteronomy, and we kind of slowed down here. We felt like that it was just God's will for us to talk about these 10 commandments. And we ask if you knew them, and many of you did. I hope by now all of you do. You know them. You can recite them. You can say a little bit about them. Let's look at them together. Verse number 7 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse number 8, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or is in the waters beneath the earth. And I'll not continue on reading that. We've preached that. Verse 11 is the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse number 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Verse number 16, honor thy father and thy mother. And verse number 17, now there's more to these commandments, but this is the gist of the commandments that I'm getting at here. We'll certainly look at them as we come to them in their entirety as we did the previous commandments. Verse 17 is the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Verse 18, neither shalt thou commit adultery is the seventh commandment. The eighth is in verse 19, thou shalt not steal. The ninth is in verse 20, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then the tenth is in verse 21, thou shalt neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, and it goes on to say others. Thou shalt not covet is the message there. So here's the Ten Commandments. And these commandments are very important. They're called the Decalogue. They're vital. They mean something. And I realize we're in the age of grace. I understand. Jesus actually elaborated and expanded on every one of these commandments in his teaching in the New Testament as well with the Lord Jesus' teachings, with the exception of, well, the one we're going to talk about again tonight and have talked about the last couple of times we've been in here, and that is remember the Sabbath, or as it's stated in verse number 12, of Deuteronomy. It's remember in Exodus chapter 20, which is the first time that the law was given. This is the restating of the law, which we get the name Deuteronomy from, the second law, the second stating or giving of the law. It's keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. And I want to just do a little bit of review before we get into some things that will close it out tonight. All right? What did we talk about when we talked about the Sabbath? There were three things that we said we wanted to accomplish. The first, we wanted to give an explanation of the Sabbath, an explanation. And then the second, a transformation. What happened? We no longer are meeting on Saturday. We're not observing the Sabbath as far as the cessation of work on Saturday. We don't keep it. It's not from sundown Friday until sundown Saturday with us. And this is where a lot of people get in trouble. All right, the Jewish calendar, the Jewish time of day, God's way, and as far as timing when he gave it, was different than ours, and that's why people have hard time tracking time when it comes to time periods in the Bible. Because God, if you remember in Genesis 1, he said in the evening and the morning were the first day. Not the morning and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now you've got to have, listen, there's if you go back to Genesis 1 sometime, and I encourage you to do this, a day has light and darkness. That's a day in God's economy, all right? It's not just part of a day, all right? We're probably going to talk about the Good Friday myth a little bit, and I'm not trying to rob anybody of a blessing here, all right? You say, well, I want to continue to have Good Friday off, so stay away from that Good Friday, you know? Well, I pray you continue to get it off, okay? You can get Good Thursday off, too, if you work at the right place. But I just want to tell you that it's a myth. It's, listen, in Good Friday, Easter Sunday, sunrise, this stuff, there's a lot of things that people practice. It's not even in the scripture. And I'm not going to split hairs and argue. I just want you to know that the scripture is very clear. In Matthew chapter 20, when Jesus said, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday, brethren. You can cut it and dice it any way you want. Well, a part of a day to a Jew is a whole day. Well, when you show that to me in the Word of God, I'm not talking about the Talmud now. I'm talking about the Word of God. Then we can talk about it. But until then, I'm not going to accept that. And so you say, well, then when was Jesus crucified? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. All right, we'll talk about that a little bit. Well, let's just do it now. When was Jesus crucified? Was it Friday? Does the Bible say Jesus was crucified on Friday? Why do people say Jesus was crucified on Friday? I think I know. I think, and it does have something to do with the Sabbath. Remember one of the things we said when we were given an explanation of the Sabbath? Remember one of the points we gave? There are several Sabbaths. Leviticus 23, write it down, go home and read it. We looked at it together. There are several Sabbaths. Every Saturday in the old economy was a Sabbath, but not every Sabbath was a Saturday. Remember when we proved that from the Scripture, from the Bible. This is not Baptist, this is not a preacher's theology or thought, this is Bible doctrine, Bible teaching. Every Sabbath is a Saturday, but not every, or every Saturday is a Sabbath, but not every Sabbath is a Saturday. There's Sabbaths that are on other days. Leviticus 23 bears it out many, many times. Many times. All right? And so I want you to look at this scripture. I think this is why there's a little misunderstanding. And again, not splitting hairs. We're not going to have a debate here. I'm open if you want to come and talk to me about it. I've studied this for years. I don't know everything about the Bible. There's a lot more I don't know than I do know. Okay? The Bible is an inexhaustible book. But I've done my homework on this one. And I want you to turn, if you would, and let's just see. I'm not trying to convince you. You say, well, I want to continue to celebrate Good Friday. Well, you go right ahead. I'm serious when I say that. Go ahead. And Sister Ann, you give the ladies off on Good Friday, okay? And Pastor Brandon, you know, you can take Good Friday out of school if you'd like. It's not a big deal to me other than I know what the Scripture teaches. And I can tell you this. Usually when the world comes up with a religious method, it's wrong. I can tell you that. And so when the world is celebrating something, the best thing you can do is look into it real carefully to find out, is it really so? And so I want to ask you to turn to your Bible to a couple places. Okay, would you do that with me? Turn, if you would, first of all, turn to Mark chapter number 8. Would you do that? And I'm just going to look at a few verses in Mark and the New Testament. And I think I know where this myth, this mistake derived from. I can't say for sure. I'll tell you one of the things that really hurts us, okay? I mean, it really does. And that is that our day has been changed, okay? The calendar's been changed. The timetable's been changed. The Jewish day began at sundown, okay, 6 p.m. It runs from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., all right? That's the Jewish day. As a matter of fact, there are still, and I know some, I've talked with them. They're good folks, okay? They're not bad people. Now, I don't know that they're saved. You're not saved by keeping the law. No man can keep the law. The law was never intended to get people saved. The law is our schoolmaster. It brings us to Christ. The law teaches us the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. By the deeds of the law, Paul said, shall no flesh be justified. You see, if I could, and I can't, but if I could keep the law, that's not going to get me to heaven. You can't. I can't keep the law. There's only one person that's ever kept the law, and that was Jesus Christ. He is the end, Romans 10:4, of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so by the deeds of the law, there's no flesh justified. And so the day is from evening to morning. That's the day in the old economy. That's the Jewish day. And it's very important that you understand that when you're trying to listen. I want you just to keep this in your mind. Okay, I don't know that we'll turn there. There was an occasion when Jesus was talking to the religious crowd. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And they said, you know, we want to see a sign. You say you're the Messiah. You say you're the Son of God. We demand a sign out of you. And he said in Matthew 12, verse number 40, he said, there will no sign be given you except. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm in that crowd, I'm perking up. Amen. I mean, if the Son of God says there will be no sign given you except, I want to hear what this is. The sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall. Okay? There's equivalency there. As Jonas was, so shall the Son of Man be. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Is that what Jesus said? Look it up. Matthew 12. It's there. So he said, I'm going to give you that sign. He said, you need to go back and study Jonah. You need to find out what's happening there. All right? Now, Jonah was a Jewish prophet. He wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles. And Jesus was really teaching a harsh lesson to these folks. Now, he was. On many levels there. But one of the things he taught them is, listen, you need to know that when the Son of Man is crucified, he's going to be buried, but now he's coming back. Amen. Just like that whale disgorged Jonah on dry land. I got to tell you, everything in Jonah is amazing to me. It's my favorite minor prophet in all the scripture. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, this is just a small little nugget that, you know, the whale could have just disgorged. That's a nice word for vomited. You didn't want to hear that tonight, did you? Well, you know, he just vomited Jonah out. He could have just vomited him out right there by where he picked him up in the sea, or 10 feet from the sea. But you know what he did? He deposited him on dry land. Read the scripture. There was a purpose for that. There was a purpose for that. God's going to get me and you where we're going without our help. I want you to know that. Amen. That's right. So I'm going to help God out. You are. I mean, that just sounds weird. I'm going to help God out. You are. You know, all right. So let's get to this. All right, so we're in Mark chapter 8. Look at verse 31. Okay, Mark chapter 8, verse number 31. Are you there? And he, meaning Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Jesus taught it. Right? And then you go to Matthew. Go to Matthew just for a moment. Matthew chapter number 27. It's pretty much the same thing. It's Matthew 27. Verse number 63. Saying, sir, we remember that this deceiver said, whilst he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. All right? After 3 days, I will rise again. Third day, after 3 days. 3 days, three nights. And so what's going on here? What's happening? Why? How could it be Friday, any time, and then Jesus come out of the grave Sunday? Well, one thing is because their Friday was not our Friday, and their Sunday's not our Sunday. You say, what do you mean? Well, I want you to just listen to me. From sundown to the next sundown is a complete day, the evening and the morning. So if you back up 72 hours, I could go through the scripture and show you. I challenge you to do it. Jesus said it, I think it's John chapter 8, he said, are there not 12 hours in a day? And he's talking about the daylight and the darkness. Those that walk in the darkness shall stumble. You need to walk in the day when it's light. There's 12 hours of light. There's 24 hours in a day. You take, you know, three 24-hour periods, you got 72 hours, all right? So you back up from the first day of the week to 72 hours. You're not going to land on Friday, I can tell you that. So where do you, how do you get there? How does that happen? Well, notice something with me. Turn to John just a moment. John chapter 19. And I think this is where, and there's other places, but I think it's clearer in John. This is where this myth comes up. And it's around the Sabbath. And that's the only reason I'm bringing it up. Okay, it's around the Sabbath. So people say, well, you know, there was a preparation for the Sabbath. And it had to be Friday because it was the day before the Sabbath when Jesus was crucified. And Sabbath is Saturday. Well, every Saturday is a Sabbath, but not every Sabbath is a Saturday. As a matter of fact, John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said, I want to make sure that you understand that this Sabbath that these Jews were preparing for was not the weekly Sabbath. It was a high day, which meant it was a feast, which when we're going to see here, John said which feast it was. It was the Passover feast, because Christ became our Passover, 1 Corinthians 5:7. There were three feasts. There was the Feast of Passover. There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was the day after Passover, which was the 15th of Nisan. And then the 16th was a Saturday, and that is the weekly Sabbath. There were three Sabbaths that Jesus was in the grave. There is a reason for that. Because Jesus was bringing to light that the law was coming to a close. And it's going to no longer be shadows and symbols. There's going to be substance in the person of Jesus Christ. And so look, if you would, in John 19. Are you there? I think this is where the problem begins. We talked a little bit about Pilate this past Lord's Day, okay, about the crucifixion, how Jesus stood before Pilate, and some of the dilemmas that he faced. Well, here is part of that dilemma extended in verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth. And if you'll read back that saying, it was the Jews were all, they were upset. What were they upset about? Well, they were upset because the Jews were saying, the reason we want this man crucified, the reason we want him done away with, is he says he's the Son of God. And we're not going to have a man running around saying he's the Son of God in our midst. Crucify him! Crucify him! And Pilate said, whoa, wait a minute. He had heard the witnesses and he knew that it was for envy that these people brought Jesus. He found no fault in Jesus Christ. And so Pilate was rethinking his decision. In verse number 13, Pilate therefore, when he heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was, now here you go, it was the preparation of, what's that next word? The Passover. It was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold, your king. But they said, they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. And they went back and forth with this, you know. And so Jesus was to be crucified. And of course, this was all in God's plan. We know that. But it doesn't take out the responsibility of human beings. And don't you ever forget that. God has a plan. And God is sovereign. Now please listen to me. God has a plan. And God is sovereign. But we are going to be held responsible and accountable for our actions. We're going to stand before God one day, and we're going to give an account of ourselves before the Lord. And so don't you go through life with this mindset, well, God's in control, and I just can't help it. Oh, yes, listen, you can help some things. I want to share a truth with you, and I hope you'll never forget it. The devil can't make you do anything, and God won't make you do anything. Did you get that? The devil can't make you do it. When I was growing up, I had a t-shirt that said, the devil made me do it. The devil's never made you do anything. The devil can't make you do it. He can tempt you to do it. But if you sin, you sin of your own will and of your own volition. How much did you sin today, preacher? As much as I chose to. And so did you. And so please understand that. I'm not being mean here. I'm just being frank. I'm just being straight. We need to quit shifting this thing and realize that we have to take accountability for our own actions. I sinned as much as I chose to today, and I will tomorrow. The devil can't make me do anything, and God won't make me do it. He could, but God won't. Why? He made me a free moral agent. He gave me choice and decision. And he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Right? And so here we find where there was this Sabbath. Look, if you would, this Passover. Now, look, if you would, down in verse number 31 of chapter 19. Now, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Now, stop right there and look right here. Now, here's the problem. I want you to get this, okay? So, Jesus was crucified, and they're saying, well, they've got to get him down before the Sabbath day gets here. It's got to be Friday. It's got to be Friday. Because the Sabbath day is a week. It's Saturday. The Sabbath is Saturday. They wanted to get him off before the Sabbath day. But now watch what the Holy Spirit of God did intentionally. It's like he said, oh, and by the way, let me remind you of something. Look at it in verse 31. For that Sabbath day was an high day. That's not your weekly Sabbath. That was your high day. That was your Passover. That was a different type of Sabbath. That wasn't your weekly Sabbath. And the Spirit of God said, let me just put this in here in case somebody tries to say that that was the weekly Sabbath. Because it wasn't. It was the Passover. All right? And so, Wednesday, you know, you can say about 3 o'clock. Jesus died at 3 o'clock. So how do you know that? It says the ninth hour. All three of the synoptic gospels says the ninth hour. Jesus died at 3 o'clock. From 3 to 6, they prepared his body. They got him in the grave. From Wednesday night, listen carefully, 6 o'clock to Thursday night, that's a day and a night. That's one. From Thursday, 6 p.m. to Friday, 6 p.m., that's a day and a night. That's two. Friday to Saturday, that's three. Saturday, yeah, because Saturday after 6 began the Sunday on Jewish time. That's why it was dark when they went to the tomb. That's right. That's when they got there and the sun had already risen. Listen to me now. Jesus is already gone. Read the scripture. It's there. You say, I don't believe it. Well, I want you to look at it. You look at it. Look at it. Search the scriptures. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Search the scriptures. And if you can get 72 hours from Friday to Sunday, you come see me, we're going to make a lot of money. Say, preacher, does it really matter? Well, since we're here, let me just say this. Look if you would at chapter 20. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, verse number 1. The first day of the week come Mary Magdalene early when it was what? Dark. Now watch this now. And some people say, well, you know, the preacher's against sunrise services. I'm not against them. We just don't have them. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. What's that mean? I mean, Jesus already risen. Okay? So if you think Jesus came up when the sun did, you read a book. I'm just telling you. That's not in the scripture. And you say, well, I want to continue to attend sunrise services. Well, go ahead. It's not a sin to do that. It's not a sin. In case you worship that, you know, that activity, that would be wrong. So I know that it kind of messes up our Western tradition and, you know, but it's just not in the scripture, brethren. It's just not. And you say, well, I'm gonna really study this now, preacher. Good. See, I've accomplished my goal. Instead of you coming just taking my word, you go study it. Isn't that what the Bible says we ought to do? Read the book of Acts. I'm going to tell you right now, when the Apostle Paul preached, those folks went home, they ransacked the scriptures. They wanted to find out if it was so or not. That's right. There was a day when folks would do that. Not try to prove the preacher wrong. They just wanted to hold the preacher accountable. You ought to hold your pastor accountable. Well, you do. But if and when I leave, no matter how that is, if God were to take me out of here tonight, I sure hope you won't let somebody come in here with a silver tongue and just talk you into anything. I know you won't. I know the character of the people in this congregation. You stay in your Bible. There's a lot of stuff out here that's not in the Bible, brethren. You stay in the book. All right? That's where the truth is. The truth's in this book right here. And so stay in the Bible. Now, we don't have to agree on every little minute thing, all right? But now, if it's truth in the Bible, we need to stick with it. All right, let's get back and talk about the Sabbath, and then I'm going to close. You say, was that all that's there? Trust me, hours and hours you could spend on this. Hours and hours. And I will say this. No matter how many hours, you'll never get 72 from Friday to Sunday. I'm just being honest with you. So I heard that the Jews said a part of a day. Listen, again, you show me that in the Bible where it was practiced. Anywhere else in the Scripture, the Scripture is consistent. We must be honest and consistent when we interpret the Scripture. You can't just pull something out of thin air and say, well, I'm going to apply that principle to this passage of Scripture. That is dishonesty in the Scripture. All through the Bible, the evening and the morning, the evening and the morning. As a matter of fact, when David in the Psalms, in Psalm 55, you know, when he went to pray, you know what he said? He didn't say morning, noon, and evening. He said evening, morning, and noon. Why? His day started in the evening. All through the Scripture. It just did. All right? We have the Romans to thank for that. I don't like the fact that 12:01 after midnight, my day starts. I don't like it. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to say something about it. How many of you like for your day to start at 12:01 at midnight? raise your hand. You say, I just love it, preacher. I love to start my new day off at 12. Well, you know, Rome did a lot of good things, but that wasn't one of them. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy. Well, I tell you what, let's just go to Hebrews. My time is up, and I just want to show you something that I hope will be a blessing to you, okay? I hope I've challenged you to study your Bible now. More. You already study your Bible. But study it more. Get in the Word, brethren. That's where it's at. You say, I want to walk in the Spirit. Well, get in the Word. I want to be led of the Spirit. Get in the Word. I want to sow seeds of kindness. Get in the Word of God. I want to have victory in Jesus. Get in the Word of God. See, that's where it's at, right? I want to walk in victory. I want power in the Holy Spirit. I want my prayers to be answered. I want to make an impact on somebody's life. Then get in this book right here. This book will absolutely transform your life. It'll change everything about you. Amen. It'll change the way you get up in the morning. Say amen with me. Listen, this book has changed my life. And it continues to do so. All that I am, I owe to the Word of God. The Word of God, brethren, is where it's at. It's where it's at. I pray to God that He would just listen, saturate us in this book. That we would just be so given, so committed to the truth of this Word. That when someone teaches or says something outside of it, immediately our spirit will say, whoa, that doesn't sound right. Try the spirits. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Try the spirits and see whether they be of God or not. It's really, really important. A lot of people turning down detoured roads now. And we want to stay on the path. Amen? Amen. All right. Hebrews, are you there? I want to give you three quick things and then I'll be finished. I'm just going to give them to you. I won't even elaborate on them. So, what about this Sabbath, preacher? Well, we said three things about it. All right, number one, we said, I'm going to make some application here. If you remember, we said we wanted to give explanation, and we did, and we went in detail. We wanted to give transformation, and we did. We went into detail. And then we said that we wanted to make application. So here's what we're going to do. How does the Sabbath apply to me today? How does that apply to me? Well, I can still learn some things from the Sabbath, though I don't observe the Old Testament Sabbath. What can I learn from it? Well, the Bible says, 6 days shalt thou work. I think that's good for me. I think work's good. What's God telling me? Work's good for you, son. Sure. You know work's good for you? You know what a lot of Christians think? Oh, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to beat Adam up. That sorry rascal, you know, he put me to work. Well, God put Adam to work before he sinned. Amen. Work's good for us. Work's good for us. Work brings purpose and fulfillment. God put Adam in the garden and said, now you dress it and keep it. It's good for you. You'll find purpose and fulfillment. You'll find achievement and accomplishment in your work. And so 6 days, that's something I learned from the Sabbath. It's good to work. Amen. But I'll tell you something else I learned from the Sabbath. I'm making an application now. It's good to rest. It's good to rest. So I'm going to use this to help you understand. Number one, it's labor, but now we're going to talk about leisure. Leisure. It's okay to rest. Listen, I'm one of those kind of guys, I got brought up this way. I can't stand this. I feel very uncomfortable when I'm not doing anything. I've got to be doing something. I was just taught, I can't stand around when people's working. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like it. It's because that's the way I was trained. That's the way I was raised. We didn't get to just do what we wanted to. This may sound odd to you, but I was raised in a generation where if I went in the kitchen and opened up the refrigerator, I've probably got a whipping. Amen. You say, for what? I had no business in the kitchen. I'm a kid. I'm a child. You stay out of the kitchen. If I want you to have something to drink, I'll give you something to drink. You just don't go to the refrigerator. Listen, I know things have come a long way since when we was kids, okay? But it might do good to go back to some of it. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. We got folks, their kids running around opening the refrigerator. What we got to drink? Opening the pantry, pulling out anything they want to eat. That just wouldn't fly around my home. And so I'm telling you, leisure's good. Leisure's good. Now, listen, labor's good, but leisure's good. I'm going to get back to that. Leisure, all right? It's good to rest on the Lord's day. It's good to rest. Sunday's a day of rest. I believe that. And I think, listen, now you can do good too. Isn't that what Jesus taught? I'm giving you some application. Not only is there labor and there leisure, but listen, you do good. What did Jesus teach when he was going from synagogue to synagogue? He said that the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And what did he do? He helped people in those temples. Listen to me. He helped people. He healed people. He taught people. He touched their lives. So not only should we learn labor on the Sabbath, we should learn leisure. It's good to rest. It's good to get your rest. Listen, there was a native tribe, and you'll appreciate this, Brother Pete. I read this past week. There was a tribe of natives, and I wish I could remember their name. And this is a true story. When they would travel long distances, anytime they traveled over 7 days, on the seventh day, no matter where they were in their travels, they'd just stop. The whole seventh day. Now, we're not talking about independent Baptists. We're not talking about, born-again Christians. We're talking about Native American people. The certain tribe. They would travel for 6 days. On the seventh day, they'd rest. This white man who picked up with them, and he started traveling with them some, and he noticed that, and throughout the process, he finally said, "Hey, I got to ask a question here." He said, what's this deal about traveling 6 days on the seventh day resting? And one of them spoke up and said, "On the seventh day, we give our souls time to catch up with our bodies." Now you think about that. What a statement. Well, we get so busy. We're so busy. We can't even, listen, our minds are so filled, and our schedules and our calendars are so filled. We're just so busy doing things, and some of it's just stuff that doesn't even matter. We just need to slow down and take time. Listen, A.W. Tozer said, take time to be holy. Sometimes you just need to slow down, and if nothing else, just meditate before the Lord and say, "God, I want to thank you for being my God and my Savior. You've changed my life, and I thank you. I look forward to coming to heaven to be with you. But until I do, would you just help me to live for you and not do anything that would reproach your name? I just want to honor you." It's just good, brethren. It's just good. And so application, labor, leisure, loving, and then there's the devotional, the Lord. I believe we ought to meet together on the Lord's day, and I believe we ought to worship God. Now, we ought to meet with God every day, but the Lord's day is special, isn't it? It's special. You be in your place, and listen, many if not all of you are, and I thank God for a church who gets it. But as Christians, we want to set the right example. But not only that, we need the spiritual food. We need the fellowship of God's people. And so don't let anything or anyone deter you away from the importance of being in God's house. There'll be many things. There's just so many things clamoring and trying to get our ear and to get our minds. And Sunday's a time where we just set everything aside and say, "I am going to focus on God, His house, His people, His word. I want to let His music just saturate my soul. I want to worship. I want to encourage. I want to exhort God's people and just be with God's people." Well, we'll get to Hebrews another time. If you would, please stand to your feet.